Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Brachos Daf Mem. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, although one may not talk in between reciting a bracha and eating, one is permitted to speak between making a motzi and eating of the bread if the purpose is to facilitate the eating of the bread. So Rav says one's allowed to tell people to see the table to take a piece of bread. Rav Yochanan says one is even allowed to ask for salt or relish to be brought to the table to enhance the taste of the bread. And Rav Sheshet says one is even allowed to ask that food be prepared for his animals, since it's forbidden for a person to eat before he gives food to his animals. So once again, the topic is that there are times when one is allowed to speak after saying the bracha of a motzi before eating the bread. Secondly, there's a brisa that's brought that lists the various opinions regarding what type of tree was the Eitz Hadas. Rav Meir holds it was a grapevine because he reasons that we find that wine brings wailing upon a person and the Eitz Hadas brought about death. Rav Nechemiah says it's a fig tree because he says that it's logical that Hashem will bring about Adam and Chava's repair through what caused their damage. So since their repair was through a fig tree, because they sowed the fig leaves to wear, their damage, meaning their downfall of eating from the Eitz Hadas, as well must have been through a fig tree. And Rav Yehuda says it was wheat, and his logic is that since a child doesn't know the first words of Abba and Ima until he begins to eat grain, this indicates that grain is associated with the development of das. So once again, Rav Meir holds it was a grapevine, Rav Nechemiah holds it was a fig tree, and Rav Yehuda holds the Eitz Hadas was wheat. Thirdly, there's a machlokes regarding the required text for a bracha. Rav says that any bracha that does not mention Hashem's name is not considered a bracha. Kol bracha, she'ein ba haskaras Hashem, ain a bracha. Rav Yochanan says that any bracha that does not include Hashem's name and doesn't mention Hashem's malchus, his sovereignty over the world as well, is not considered a bracha. Kol bracha she'ein ba malchus ain a bracha. So once again, the three topics are, there are times when, even though you're not supposed to speak after making a bracha and eating, you're allowed to after a motzi if the purpose is to facilitate the eating of the bread. Rav says you can say to people, take a piece of bread. Rav Yochanan says you can ask for salt and relish because it'll enhance the taste of the bread. And Rav Sheshet says you're even allowed to ask that food be prepared for his animals since it's forbidden for a person to eat before he gives food to his animals. Secondly, the brisa brought about the various opinions regarding what type of tree was the Eitz Hadas. Rav Meir says it was a grapevine. Rav Nechemiah says it was a fig tree. And Rav Yehuda says it was wheat. And thirdly, the machlokes regarding the required text for a bracha. Rav says any bracha that does not mention Hashem's name is not considered a bracha. Kol bracha she'ein ba haskaras Hashem ain a bracha. Rav Yochanan says that any bracha that does not include Hashem's name and doesn't mention Hashem's malchus over the world is not considered a bracha. Kol bracha she'ein ba malchus ain a bracha. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon from Mem is going to be mayim, water. But we're going to think of a pool of water to be our simon. Here we go. The overly ambitious new parents who are sitting by the pool under a fig tree trying to feed their infant grain, teaching the proper text of the bracha while asking for salt to be brought for the bread. Once again in slow motion. The overly ambitious new parents were sitting by the pool. Oh, a pool, that means we must be on Daf Mem. Under a fig tree trying to feed their infant grain. So the fig tree and the grain reminds us of two of the three shitas regarding what the Eitz Hadas was. Teaching the proper text of the bracha, right, with the Malchokas, what is required as a text of the bracha, is it Hashem's name? Or does it have to have Hashem's name and his malchus? While asking for salt to be brought for the bread, which reminds us that there are times that one is allowed to speak after motzi before eating the bread, one of them being that one can ask for salt or relish to be brought to enhance the taste of the bread. So once again, the overly ambitious new parents were sitting by the pool under a fig tree, trying to feed their infant grain, teaching the proper text of the bracha, while asking for salt to be brought for the bread. And I hope it's clear, by the way, that the reason why these parents want the little baby to eat the grain is so it'll say Abba and Ima. Okay, just to be clear. Okay, so now let's go to our four blot back chazor beginning on Daf Lamed Vav. So the symbol of Lamed Vav is a lulav. Here we go. The lulav that was covered in fine white wheat flour. That reminds us there's malchus occurring the bracha recited over wheat flour, kimcha dechita. Rav Yehuda says that one recites Adama, since it's likened to eating wheat kernels. The fact that the flour is ground doesn't change its status. Rav Nachman says that one recites a shah kol because the ground flour is no longer in its original state of wheat kernels, which would require a bravery Adama, but has not yet reached its final state of bread, which would require a motzi. So it's covered with fine white wheat flour and with sprouting caper bush husks. Because the Gemara asks why the husks of the caper bush are not subject to the orla restriction, given that the shomer, the protective covering of the orla fruit, is considered orla. So Rava teaches that something's only considered a fruit shomer if without it the fruit would die. Caper bush husks are not needed to keep the berries alive, so they do not attain the status of a shomer and therefore they're not subject to Orla. And it was sitting in a bowl of porridge. Rav and Shmuel teach that one recites a Berei Menei Mazonos on any food that contains one of the five species of grain, even if the grain is not the primary ingredient. And Tosfos adds that it's only when the grain is there to enhance the dish rather than merely to serve as a binder. Then we go to Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simcha Lamed Zayin is laser tag. Here we go. The Chol HaMoed Pesach laser tag trip, that reminds us we're on Daf Lamed Zayin, got out of hand when the losing team started throwing rice and dates. So the rice reminds us that cooked rice is similar to the five grains inasmuch as the brach before eating it is Berei Menei Mazonos, but it's not like the five grains because afterwards you say a Berei Nefashos. And the dates reminds us of Malchokas from Gamliel and the Chachamim on what brach is recited after eating one of the Zayin, meaning one of the seven species. When Gamliel says one should recite Birchas Hamazon, the Chachamim say one should recite the brach of Me'ein Shalosh. And the winning team discovered a little pieces of bread in their cooked dish, right? Because according to Rav Sheshes, one makes hamotzi on a cooked dish made with pieces of bread, even if the pieces are smaller than a kazayis. And Rav stipulates that if the pieces are smaller than a kazayis, they must still have the appearance of bread. Then we're going to Daf Lamed Ches. The simon for Lamed Ches is a Devar Lach. In our case, we're going to use chicken soup. So the sick yeshiva bacher made hamotzi on the challahs. That reminds us of Malchus regarding whether the nusach of the bracha on bread should be motzi or hamotzi. Before he was served some medicinal chicken soup. That reminds us that it's permitted to consume any food or drink for medicinal purposes on Shabbos, since the act is considered one of eating rather than healing. Together with some cooked vegetables, that reminds us of the sugya of shlakos, that the appropriate bracha on cooked vegetables, shlakos, is often adama, but sometimes a shakol. Right? When the cooking elevates the vegetables to the primary form in which they're eaten, as for example with the potato, then the bracha on the cooked potato is a brepi adama, and as a raw potato would be a shakol. When cooking is not the primary way to eat the vegetable, as for example a leek, then the bracha on the raw leek would be a adama, and on the cooked vegetable, it would be a shehakol. And finally, we go to Daf Lamed Tes. So the symbol for Lamed Tes is a letter. So here we go. The father was shocked when he discovered a letter, that reminds us of Daf Lamed Tes, under the two small loaves of Lechem Mishnah. And that reminds us that there's malchus regarding which bread a person should say a motzi on when faced with the choice between a small whole loaf and a larger broken piece of the same grain. Rav Huna says that size takes precedence over wholeness, over being a shalom, and therefore one says a motzi on the larger broken piece. Rav Yochanan holds that completeness takes precedence. Being shalom is more important than size, so one says a motzi on the shalom, even though it's smaller. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak holds that a Yerushalayim should adopt the practice of placing the broken piece under the whole loaf, and then either break off a piece from the whole loaf or from both of them. And I'm going to do a little bit of simanim surgery here, which I mentioned in the video, based on input from Adam Buckstein here in Passaic. We're going to add... He was shocked when he found the two small hooves and a large broken piece of Lechem Mishnah, reminding him to always make a bracha on a carrot before making one on gefilte fish, which reminds us that when it comes to the din kedima precedence and brachas, that one should first make a bracha on a food with a more specific bracha, like an adama, in this case a carrot, before making on a food with a less specific bracha, like a shakol, in this case the gefilte fish. So once again, for the simon, just to be clear, the father was shocked when he discovered a letter under the two small whole loaves and the broken large piece of bread of Lechem Mishnah, reminding to always make a bracha on a carrot before making one on gefilte fish. Okay, so now we're going to finish with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go, number one. Where do you have the Malchokas going with a bracha for ground flour, eating ground flour? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav, good. Number two. Where do we have the Malchokas going pshat in Ve'asafta Diganecha? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey, great. Number three, where do the Malchokas regarding the bracha after eating the Zayin Minim? Whether it's Birchas Hamazon or Me'ein Shalosh, that's on Daf. Lamed Zayin, good. Number four, where do we learn that there are times one can speak after making a motzi? That's on Daf. Mem, great. Number five, where do we learn that on Shabbos it's permitted to eat food for medicinal purposes? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches, great. Number six, where do the Malchukas regarding which one should make a bracha on? A whole loaf of shalom versus a broken large piece. That's on Daf. Lamatas, good. Number seven, where do we learn that making a bracha Rishona is based on Sevora? That's on Daf. Lamat Hey, great. Number eight, where do we have the different opinions regarding what the Eitz Hadas was? That's on Daf. Mem, good. Number nine, which Daf do we learn why we have Lechem Mishnah? That's on Daf. Lamed Tes. And number 10, Where do we learn the bracha on cooked vegetables? Is sometimes the adama and sometimes the shayakol. That's on daf. Great, that concludes our pop quiz. Just a reminder for the Aldafers, if you want to get access to the deluxe suite of Zichron materials, meaning the pictures, the PDFs, the weekly reviews, the Simanim music videos, and links to new games that are released, you can sign up at zichru.com or join the WhatsApp at 973-440-3013. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.